Blog Talk Radio.
Listen with the fear of the Lord. It's speak
it out.
Put the song, chapter 111, verse 10.
Uh-huh.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You fear the Lord, you begin to gain wisdom, read.
Father, please teach me how to overcome evil beneath me. Yeah, it takes more than fringes and ZZ. Cause the flesh of my body be sneaky. Demons wanna devour and eat me. Whether radio, phone, or the TV. See, this walking the truth isn't easy. Yeah. But I read your scriptures and live them. Devil be blinding on me with precision. My spirit, you put limits in them. Sometimes I do not feel worthy of your kingdom. But I still stand tall when I sing it. Please do not take my life before the mission. I pray you grant me time to finish. So I don't bring disgrace to my lineage. This generation need healing. Heaven or hell, with your choice, that's a given. Y'all don't really get it, just listen. It's like your spiritual body in prison. So thank the Most High for forgiveness and practice repentance. And in this coming, start cleaning your spirit. Hope you avoiding that fiery sentence. Father, please teach me how to overcome evil beneath me. Yeah, it takes more than fringes and ZZ. Cause the flesh of my body be sneaky. Demons wanna devour and eat me. Whether radio, phone, or the TV. See, this walking the truth isn't easy. See, this walking the truth isn't easy. Everybody scared of facing their past. Everybody scared of giving their last. Everybody out here chasing a bag, not knowing that it came with a tag. Ambition got them going outside. Got drive, but they throw off the path. Evil spirits, they observing they left. This verse of prayer, cause my spirit be sad. We say repent, but it's off and they left. I will please do not show us your wrath. Have mercy when your spirit is mad. Baptize and get their spirit a bath. Most of them never grew up, they dead. The neighborhood is really all that they had. Time is ticking, it could end with a flash. Your grace and mercy really all that we have. Father, please teach me how to overcome evil beneath me. Yeah, it takes more than fringes and ZZ. Cause the flesh of my body be sneaky. Demons wanna devour and eat me. Whether radio, phone, or the TV. See, this walking the truth isn't easy. See, this walking the truth isn't easy.
Yeah, who said be aware of the leaven? Whose word hold weight in the heavens? Who you think gon' pay what you owe? Who you think been getting you ready? Hamashiach, cause he paid it already. Flow cold like the face of a Yeti. We move in silence like the ancient spaghetti. I can really drop the bass if you ready. Babylon about to fall like a levee. I'm preparing while I'm hoping I'm ready. Trump gon' build that wall when he ready. We boxed in like we driving a Chevy. We in the book of Revelations already. Stay woke, cause it's about to get messy. Repent, not a frivolous message. Praying hard that the Father protect us. Father, please teach me. Yeah.
A good understanding of all day that do his commandments.
So you get a good understanding when you follow his commandments. That's why we're able to come up here and tell you that you're Israel.
Right.
That's why we're able to come up here and correct you from your wickedness.
Right.
Right.
Because we follow the commandments of the Most High God.
Right.
Therefore we get the wisdom and understanding of his word.
Right.
Right.
We come out here and wake up our people, the so-called black, the so-called native, the so-called Hispanic, to come back to your true national heaven.
Right.
This is what you get for fearing the Most High God.
Right.
All right. Waking Up Israel Radio Show. I'm your host, Micah Israel. And I got the blues, y'all. I'm going through it. I am going through it. All right. Oh. Let me go ahead and open up the lines. It's Brother Ronald. Shalom, shalom, my brother.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. All right. Waiting on Sister Dale. All right, we wanted to read in the book of Jasher. And really, Brother Ronald, you coming in a good time. I don't know if you kept up with us reading in the book of Jasher, but it speaks about Father Abraham and how he was born. And it really kind of, you know, stuff that we already knew about our in our canon, in our Bible. Really the same stuff, really. But it paints a... I don't know. I want to say a more clearer picture than what our canon does. You know, little details. And it kind of emphasizes Abraham's dad, what he was to Nimrod. You know what I'm saying? Nimrod really, really respected him, man. Like, as if he's some kind of top wizard or top. He read the stars. The Chaldeans were known for the folks that was able to read the stars, man. And they can read the stars and tell you different. It makes it sound like it's zodiac or astrology. You know what I'm saying? They was into that type of stuff there. You know what I'm saying? And Nimrod is the father of paganism, period, man. But it also hits on Adam. Adam and Eve. Adam had apparently some type of a coat or something, you know, like a jacket, or it was made out of animal skins, right? And it was in the, you know, after Adam died, it kind of passed down through the family, and it says that Ham stole that jacket or coat, and what ended up happening was he hid it from his, you know, other children and all that, and passed it down to his son Cush, you know, and he kind of, you know, when he was about to die, he gave it to Cush. Cush ended up, you know, with all the other children, he didn't. But in his old age, Nimrod was born, and he loved Nimrod. So he gave Nimrod this jacket. I know. See, that's also, I know what you're probably thinking. You know, this is from someone else's point of view of what took place, right? So our authority comes from Moses. So that's the one that we hold to be true, right? Now, that's what makes books like these the type of books to where you just don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? If it's accurate or what, you know. But a lot of Israelites subscribe. A lot of Israelites subscribe, you know what I'm saying, to these apocryphal books. You know, the book of Jasher is considered one of the lost books. It's also, I want to say, inside the Dead Sea Scrolls. All right. But as we was reading it, we found a couple of discrepancies. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, it didn't go into depth with it, but it says there's Abraham's older brother, Aaron. You know, he had Lot. You know, but he also had a daughter named Sarah, right? But in our canon, Sarah, Abraham's dad, had Sarah, you know. So there's that issue right there. So we're going to always base truth upon our canon and not take apocryphal book as truth over. That's whenever they come to a situation where they bumping heads, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we always going to go with the truth being our canon. And these apocryphal books, man, we're just not going to get hung up, you know. I mean, I'm going to read it all, you know what I'm saying, and take it in. But just with a grain of salt is what I guess my whole point is. Yeah, so it went into detail on how they were building this tower. All right, hold that thought. 1 second, brother. Hold that thought. Sorry about that. My job was calling me, man. Sorry to put you on hold like that. Let me see if Sister Thales in, man. No, she haven't made it quite just yet. Okay. But, yeah, what I was saying is that what was I saying, bro? Oh, yeah, about Sarah being Lot's sister, you know. I don't know if this is the same Sarah, but we read that, you know, his brother Haran had a daughter named Sarah. So apparently we went to thinking that that's the same Sarah Abraham was going to end up marrying. So, but maybe not. We haven't got, you know, to that like that yet. So I don't want to jump the gun, but apparently Lot got a sister named Sarah. Okay. So, yeah, so that's that. Right now I'm in the middle of trying to bag into a dock. So,
Hey, why you doing?
Yeah,
why you doing it? I'm gonna call right back in. I gotta do something right quick.
Okay, well I'm gonna go ahead and play a clip. Go ahead, man. I'm gonna play a clip and stuff like that and play a song. Okay. Go ahead and play a song, man. All right, yeah, go ahead and do that. Do your out of your business. All right.
I'm a car right back.
So let me play this. Okay, man.
I'm on.
And I can't repeat the crazy things my eyes have seen.
Oh, my eyes have seen.
Dropping down on my knees, Father, please have mercy on me.
The devil been trying to take me out to earth since birth. For the umbilical was cut, he was giving me the word. Came out the womb, blew in the mouth, suffocating. Yo, I barely made it, you could ask Mrs. Davis. For good reason, getting strangled by demons. In tune with the spiritual realm, the higher kept me breathing. Cause I was his and they couldn't cheat him. They say I had imaginary friends, but I really used to see them. Ghetto born, ghetto raised, food stamps bought the Gerber. Exposed to corruption, the drugs and the gang murders. Baddest luck ever, I led with my left hand. Worst sign of the zodiac, glad it's all wicked man. An evil thinker and professional cheater. You didn't want me as an enemy, I find a way to sneak ya. But praise the higher, I've been on this straight and narrow here. Man, I ain't did a lick of dirt in about 7 years. I know if it wasn't your will, I would have been done. I should have been done, perished in the dew of the night. Or in that concrete sin with 25 to life. Now I'm surrounded by Hebrews. We thriving and working, sustaining through these tribulations. And I don't deserve it. I'm being cradled by your hands to catch me in the zone. I don't care what you do to me, just don't leave me alone. Give you the glory when I'm right and repent when I'm wrong. Your people drawn to your music, they know it ain't just a song. Stitches and broken bones, I done struggled so long. My heart been through the meat grinding, but I still can put a smile on. Face in the east, thanking you for the increase. Can't wait to fall into your arms and just weep, yeah.
And I can't repeat the crazy things my eyes have seen.
Oh, my eyes have seen.
Dropping down on my knees, Father, please have mercy on me.
Money,
Father, please, have mercy on me.
In my life, 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 in my
Why was life so hard for us, man? I don't get it. Yeshua, whom the world ignorantly calls Jesus, he left a final message for us before he left, for his people. Not for no Christians, though that's how the Western church be trying to flip it, like he was talking to any of y'all loose individual that got some personal problems. No, he was talking to his nation. He was talking to his people by blood.
St. John 15 and 18. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you.
Bang, that's why they hate us, because they hated him.
If you were of the world would love his own.
That's why they don't love us. That's why the system is set up for us to fail. That's why we fill up the jail, and the injustice is channeled toward us. Who sent us the guns and the drugs and made us thug? Them. Who caused separation between us and fueled the fire for us to gangbang? Them. Our gangs were started to help and protect our communities, but who infiltrated and instigated and pit us against each other? Them. Who's shooting us down in the streets for nothing? Them. That's why they shut us out their workforce, their school. That's why when something come up missing, it's our fault we stole it. That's why they treat us like they do. We are that nation not desired. We are not of the world. This world does not love us. He gonna tell us why. Look.
But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world.
That's why. Because he chose us. From the beginning, we came in his skin and of his nation.
Therefore, the world hates you.
Bang. That's why they hate us. It ain't because of those other reasons they lead us to believe. It's because we are the chosen people of the Most High in Christ.
Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you.
Didn't they slander and false accuse him? Ain't they doing that to you? Got you standing up in these courtrooms eating you alive, falsely? They hung him on a cross, which was wood and came from a tree. Then they stopped making those crosses, but they didn't stop hanging you on trees, did they? I'm just saying, they was hanging us, right? You got to connect these dots, family. They did that to us because that's what they did to him.
If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also.
Now some of them gonna keep our saying and follow us after this truth. Shout out to all the Gentiles out there that's heeding the study, rocking with Israel, following after Israel.
But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake.
It's all because of him, Mama. They hate him. They hate his skin. So they painted pictures and changed it. They hated his hair. So they painted him pictures with long blonde hair like theirs. Right? With no shame they did this.
Why? Because they know not him who sent me.
Because they don't know a high. They don't know our God. They changed his name too. Hid his identity too. Did away with the things that he commanded us to do too. Jump down to 25.
But this cometh to pass.
But the time will come and go where it was.
That the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law.
He is the word. He is the law. He is the word spoken by the prophet. You cannot separate the two.
They hated me without cause.
They hated him for nothing.
But when the comforter has come,
after all this, in the last days, when the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, when she come to us, what?
Whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth.
Bang, when we wake back up, and the truth come what?
Which proceeded from the Father. He the Father shall testify of me.
Bang, the Holy Spirit will reveal all the secrets that they kept from us. His skin, his head, who his nation is, who he came to save, and who he commanded them to save. Why we had it so hard in this world, all that. Yeshua is the center of all that.
And he shall bear witness.
And in finding this truth, we will become spokesmen of it and spread it to the four corners of the earth, waking our people up.
Because ye have been with me from the beginning.
We've been with him from the very beginning. Nothing was made in his absence. He was there from the beginning when water was formed, when the earth was made, when our forefather Adam was formed. He stood alongside of the Father and helped to create all things. We are the people he chose from the beginning. We are the people he came to save.
Matthew 15, 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
That's why we done had it so hard in this world. Wake up with it.
I gotta say, that was heavy, heavy, heavy. Heavy, heavy, heavy stuff. I love that song, man. I tell you, that song right there pretty much, you know, kind of describes my understanding of the scriptures, you know what I'm saying? Wrapped up in a little, in a song, you know? And, yeah, so, but anyway, y'all, I'm a trucker by trade, and I'm getting it in, man. I'm getting it in, I'm working, I'm doing all that, man. Trying to make it right, trying to make it right, make it all work in my favor. Okay, so yeah, this is part two. Let me kind of reopen myself up again. This is part two. Brother Ronald said he'll call back in. So he called in and then he had to go. So he said he'd be right back. There goes Sister Thale. She's here now. Let me open up her line.
Yes, all right, Sister Thale.
All right. So I finally made it to my delivery, and I'm backed up to the dock. Excuse me if the sound quality is bad, y'all. I got that AC blasting on me. I don't know if that's doing to the mic. All right. So how about we go on and get into it? I don't know. Something telling me that Brother Ronald might not be back. So I'm going to go ahead and get started with my reading. All right. And we'll just kind of fill up on the different events that may happen. You know what I'm saying? If he was to come back, you know, bring him up to speed. But, let me go on and do that. And we left off at chapter 10, I want to say, right?
I believe so. Yes, sir.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Let's see. Chapter 10. Yeah, so I remember we got started on 10, but we didn't finish 10. So I want to go ahead and... I want to go ahead and read 10 and try to keep my eyes open for Brother Ronald. There you go, right there. All right, there you go. Let me open up your line. All right, there, Brother Ronald. Welcome back. Welcome back. Okay. All right. Since everybody's line is open and everything, let me start by reading this. And we all know that Nimrod. Okay, one second. Right. The paperwork is 144543.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. This is the real number. Yeah.
Okay, 144.
543.
What I have is 513.
That's okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Sorry about that, y'all. I had some business.
That's okay, brother. We know that you're a busy person, and we applaud the way that you handle the situation because you're still trying to do the Most High's business, the Messiah, and you're trying to do your job, too. And we commend you for that because anyone that's trying, sir, we have to applaud them for trying. So, okay. So we'll be patiently waiting, and the listeners, I'm sure, is the same.
Okay. Well, I'm humble. I'm a humble person, Ma. I'm doing it for fun. This is for fun. This is making memories and just kind of
people.
Yeah. I've just kind of said in that fashion, so I don't like get a big head like I'm, Steve Harvey or somebody. This is just a little podcast.
That's what we like. That's what I like about it. And I'm sure the readers that are listeners, I'm sure they like it too. I believe they are because they're just getting information, and they're picking up on whatever information is coming across, and that's the point.
I know that's right. I love you too, Cecilia.
Yeah, and Brother Ronald too. Brother Ronald, everything that we do is not in vain, no matter who you are and what you say, because it's going to touch someone, whatever you say, whatever come out of your mouth is what the Spirit leads you and what the Most High wants to come out, and that's what it's about. It's putting it, making it available for people to hear.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So with that being said, let's get started, okay? I want to start by... a lot of this book got Nimrod in it. He plays a big role in this book, right? So by default, we can see that he is the start of all that. Well, I ain't going to say the start. There was wicked people before Nimrod. However, you can see evidence of Nimrod to this very day with these pagan beliefs, okay? Like Asherah. Nimrod's wife, when she died, the pagans believed that she became a moon goddess. Okay? She had, like, this chicken feet and these, like, bird-like wings and whatever. And that's where we get our Easter eggs from, right?
Capital
C. And that's...
Go ahead,
okay,
I'm sorry.
And that's... All right. And also, she believed that when Nimrod died, he became the sun, okay? So he became something like a sun god, which you see the correlation between Osiris and Egypt and that sun god, right? You might can see the origins of this paganism I'm trying to paint here. And the Gilgamesh, all of these, I believe they're all the same person, okay? That's where this first virgin birth came into play. Not necessarily virgin birth, because she wasn't a virgin. However, Tammuz is a child, and she believed that the sun shined on her and got her pregnant, okay, after Nimrod done died. And so the sun shined on her, she got pregnant, and then you had the baby Tammuz. All right, and you can find, matter of fact, before I get into Jasper's still, I want to dive into what our Bible canon says about Tammuz. Okay, let me see here. All right, let's go to the, I'm going to go to the book of Ezekiel.
Okay,
and that this was a real thing. Our ancestors was actually worshiping it. Long after Nimrod, after we done came out of Egypt, okay, Ezekiel chapter 8, and I'm going to start around, I guess I'll start around 10. All right? No, I'll start around 10. And, so Tammuz. So I want to just kind of paint this picture because after Nimrod died, you know, that's way before we even went into Egypt in captivity, you know. But after even captivity, all right, after we didn't even made it to our land and got established, generations done passed on, Ezekiel was in the time of the Babylon, when Babylon took us in captivity. And Ezekiel, the Most High, in the spirit, he's in the spirit, talking with the Most High and the angels. This is what he said. I'm going to start at chapter 8, verse 10. So I went and saw, and behold, every form of creepy things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand. And a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagination? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. So the Most High is kind of showing them all these super wicked things that our leadership is doing, you know what I'm saying, in high places and stuff like that, right? Not necessarily the common people. He's showing him what they're doing in the temple while nobody's looking. He's showing them, you know what I'm saying, prominent figures and what they're doing. And that's our leadership, right? And if our leadership goes left, our whole nation goes left, right? So what we see our leadership do is we probably should say that most likely the common man was probably doing this as well. Okay, so I'm on verse. All right, I'm on verse 13. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. All right? So here it is, hundreds and hundreds of years later, and they're still weeping it's a certain type of prayer that, that they was doing, this paganism, in mourning for Tammuz. Tammuz, when he was like 5 years old, he got killed with by a wild boar. All right? At least that's what the story says. All right? A wild boar kind of killed him. All right? But he was, that's Nimrod's son. At least that's what she says. And he was already dead, but the sun shined it on her, and that's what got her pregnant. All right? But my point is, bringing that up, is that we were going to read in Jasher about these people, about, you know, saying Nimrod and Asherah and all of those things. These are the origins of all that. Tammuz was born on December 25th. And if you look at all these other religions all around the world, you will find that they got that same exact birthday, December the 25th. And there's a lot of virgin births dealing with December the 25th. This is the origin of a lot of paganism, right, that we're reading. And I just kind of, you know, we're talking about Nimrod, so we had to talk about that. But, yeah, so with that said, let me go and get back to Jasher, chapter 10. And, all right, so we're going to get started on Nimrod, okay, and learning more about him and that and what happened between, you know, Terah and Nimrod, Abraham, and all that folk in that time period. All right. Oh, just to bring Brother Ronald up to speed, Terah was like a star reader, astrologer. He's of the Chaldeans, the land of Uz. Those folks was able to, you know, saying read those stars very well, man. They had a whole bunch of pagan statues of different gods. A god for every month of the year, I believe is what he said. And so he had 12 of them. And Nimrod, he was like a counselor over Nimrod. Him and some other folks with that same talent. Some brothers was able to conjure up spirits and demons and all this other stuff. They were conjurers. So they was all around Nimrod giving him counsel. Okay. So chapter 10, let's get it started. Verse 1, and Peleg, the son of Eber, died in those days, in the 48th year of the life of Abram, son of Terah. And all the days of Peleg were 239 years. And when the Lord had scattered the sons of men on account of their sin at the tower, behold, they spread forth into many divisions. And all the sons of men were dispersed into the four corners of the earth. And all the families became each according to its language, its land, or its city. And the sons of men built many cities according to their families in all the places where they went and throughout the earth where the Lord had scattered them. And some of them built cities in places from which they were afterward extirpated. I don't know. Let me skip it. And they called these cities after their own names, or the names of their children, or after their particular occurrences. And the sons of Japheth, the son of Noah, went and built themselves cities in the places where they were scattered. And they called all their cities after their names. The sons of Japheth were divided upon the face of the earth into many divisions and languages. And these are the sons of Japheth, according to their family: Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. These are the children of Japheth according to their generations. And the children of Gomer, according to their city, were the Frankim, who dwelled in the land of Franza. I want to say that's France. I don't know. I'm just, it's, you know, sounds like it. Franza, by the river Franza, by the river Sinai. And the children of Rephath are the Bartonium, who dwelled in the land of Bartonia, by the river Ladan, which empties into its waters into the great sea Gihon, that is Ocean, Oceanus, And the children of Tugarma are 10 families, and these are the names: Huzar, Parzunak, Balgar, Elkanam, Ragbib, Sarki, Hid, Zebuk, Ungal, and Silamar. All these spread and rested in the north and built themselves cities. And they call their cities after their own names. Those are they who abide by the rivers, Pisla and Italic, unto this day. But the families of Angoli, Balgar, and Pundanek, they dwell by the great river Duni. And the names of their cities are also according to their own names. And the children of Javan are the Javanim, who dwelled in the land of Macedonia. Huh? And the children of Medair are the Orelum that dwelt in the land of Kirsum. And the children of Tubal are those that dwelled in the land of Tuskana by the river Pusha. And the children of Meshach are the Shabashani. And the children of Tyrus are Rushash, Kushni, and Orgali. All these went and built themselves cities. Those are the cities that are situated by the sea. Jubas by the river Kura, which empties itself into the river Tragon. And the children of Elisha are the Alamanim, and they also built themselves cities. These are the cities situated between the mountains of Job and Shibathmo, and them were their people of Lombardi, who dwelt opposite of the mountains of Job and Shibathmo. And they have conquered the land of Italia and remain there unto this day. And the children of Chittim. Now, this is the name right here that's going to stick in our mind after reading the book of Jasher. It's going to occur several more times. All right. The land of Chittim is basically Rome. All right. Basically Rome. That area right over there is the origins of Chittim. All right. Okay. Let me start. 16. And the children of Chittim are the Romans, who dwell in the valley of Canopia by the river Hebrew. And the children of Dudadim are those who dwell in the cities of Gihon in the land of Borda. These are the families of the children of Japheth according to their cities and languages. When they were scattered after the tower, and they called their cities after their names and occurrences. And these are the names of all their cities, according to their families, which they built in those days after the tower. Okay. So all that area is ancient Japheth area. Italy, Rome, you know, and it sounds like Fonza. That sounds like France, you know. It sounds like it, you know. But I see this land of Italia. That sounds like Italy, you know. So this, according to this, what we're reading, all that area was Japheth. Okay. So, yeah, that's pretty heavy. That's pretty heavy. All right. So, let's see, verse 19. And the children of Ham were Cush, Mitzarim, that's Egypt, Put, I want to say that's Libya, or I forget if Cush was Ethiopia, or Cush was, I forget which one is which, y'all. So Cush, Mitzarim, Put, but I know Mitzarim is definitely Egypt, Put and Canaan, according to their generations and cities. All these went and built themselves cities after they found fit places for them. and they call their cities after the names of their fathers, Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. And the children of Mizraim are Ludum, Anamim, Liabim, Naphtuchim, Prathrusium, Casaluchium, Cafeteria. Seven families. All these dwell by the river Sihor, that is Brook of Egypt. And they built themselves cities and called them after their own names. And the children of Pathros and Kaphlah intermarried together. And from them went forth the Pelishtim, the Azathim, and the Giravim, the Gittim, and the Ekronim, and all five families. These also built themselves cities, and they called their cities after the names of their fathers unto this day. And the children of Canaan also built themselves cities, and they called their cities after their names, 11 cities, and others without number. And four men from the family of Ham went to the land of the plain. These are the names of the four men, Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboam. Okay, so those are Hamitic places. And these men built themselves four cities in the land of the plain, and they called the names of their cities after their own names. And they and their children and all belonging to them dwelt in those cities. And they were fruitful and multiplied greatly and dwelt peaceably. And Seir, the son of Hur, son of Hivi, son of Canaan, went and found a valley opposite to Mount Paran. And he built a city there. And he and his seven sons and his household dwelt there. And he called the city which built Seir, according to his name. That is the land of Seir unto this day. These are the family of the children of Ham, according to their languages and cities, when they were scattered to the countries after the battle. Okay. Sodom and Gomorrah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, where are you at now? What chapter and what verse again?
Chapter 10, yes, ma'am, and I'm on verse 30.
Okay.
Right. So, but I just want to kind of note that a lot of these places that they're naming is not, it's like the east coast of Africa all the way into Iraq. You know? It's like Iraq and Africa right in there. You see what I'm saying? That's, or right after the tower, it's like they, you said Sodom and Gomorrah. If I ain't mistaken, Sodom and Gomorrah is in Iraq, you know, and they built them cities and things like that. So right after the whole tower thing, they didn't go too far from the tower. You know what I'm saying? When that went down, the Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they didn't go that far. Yeah, because the Tower of Babel was in Iraq. So, they didn't go too far away. You know what I'm saying? Sodom and Gomorrah. And then you look at, they mostly went, west and southwest and established, you know, all Egypt and all of that down there. You know? That's the way it sounds to me. But yeah, I'm on verse 30.
Okay.
All right. And some of the children of Shem. Okay. And some of the children of Shem, son of Noah, father of the children of Eber, also went and built themselves cities in the places wherein they were scattered. And they called their cities after their names. And the sons of Shem were Elam, Ashar, Ashpertad, Lud, Aram, and they built themselves cities and called the names of all their cities after their name. And Asher, son of Shem, and his children and household went forth at that time, a very large body of them. And they went to a distant land, and they found, and they met with a very extensive valley in the land that they went to. And they built themselves four cities, and they called them after their own names and occurrences. And these are the names of the city which the children of Asher built. Nineveh, that's over there by, that's up north of Israel, right? That's Assyria, I want to say. Rezin, Kala, and Rehoboth, and the children of Asher dwelt there unto this day. And the children of Aram also went and built themselves a city. And they called the name of their city Uz, after their eldest brother. And they dwelt therein. That is the land of Uz to this day. Aram, okay. And in the second year after the Tower of Man from the house of Ashur, whose name was Bela, went from the land of Nineveh to sojourn with this household, wherever he could find a place, and they came until opposite the city of the plain against Sodom, and they dwelt there. And the man rose up and built there a small city and called his name Bela, after his name. That is the land of Zoar unto this day. And these are the families of the children of Shem, according to their language and cities, after they were scattered upon the earth after the tower. And every kingdom, city, and family of the families of the children of Noah built themselves many cities after this. And they established governments in all their cities in order to be regulated by their orders. So did all the families of the children of Noah forever. Okay? All right. I got a phone call coming in, y'all. Let me take the call. All right.
And while brother is away, I was just looking at some extra information regarding the Turkey and Syria earthquake. I just want to send out my thoughts on that, too, that we are always keeping all those people in our prayers.
Yes, definitely.
I just wanted to say that, brother, because I know that's over there in that Middle East area, but you know what? We just have to continue to pray for everyone on this planet.
Okay. Right, because we don't know who's who, right?
No, sir, we do not. I mean, it's just a mystery. It's all a mystery.
Right.
We can't.
Right. I understand that. I totally understand that. But I definitely, like, when I see people suffering, it's just something about, I don't know, we're scattered all over the world, so most likely there's some of us in that Muslim world. And
Of course.
So it's just kind of, I don't know. I definitely keep them in our thoughts and prayers. There's rich people and poor people all died in that, man. It was over 15,000 is what I heard. So, it's definitely pretty bad, pretty rough. And definitely keep them in our thoughts and prayers. All right. What I like to do right now, y'all, they're done getting me unloaded. So I need to go in the building and sign out and all that jazz. So I want to take a little break. I want to take a little break.
You did fine. Okay.
Okay. Okay, yeah, let's take and play. Let me kind of play a little song, or how about I play a little clip or something?
Yeah,
all
that'd
right?
be good.
Yeah. That'll be good.
Yeah,
and we'll get back to it. All right, we'll get back to it in a second. Okay, if I can. All right, so, yeah, let's play this Daniel 12.
Daniel 12 reveals when the second coming will occur. Throughout the long millennia since Adam and Eve first turned their heartbroken steps from paradise, the question in the heart of every believer has been, when will it be over? When can we return home? Yahushua said, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Divine love, however, desires every soul to be ready for the end. The prophecy of Daniel 12 is Yahuwah's gift, relating events which will disclose when the second coming will occur. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Daniel 12 covers the climax of the great controversy between good and evil, towards which all of Daniel 11 has been building. At that time, Michael stands up. His people are facing a time of trouble such as the world has never seen, and he's not going to take it sitting down. He lovingly provides instruction for the final generation so they will know what to expect. Daniel, like everyone since Adam, wanted to know one thing. He asked, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? The answer was immediate. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. This may seem confusing, but it was an honest answer to a straightforward question. Daniel asked, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And Yahushua told him, a time, times, and half a time, or 3.5 years. This is important information. Earth's history would climax in a 3.5 year time period. The one piece of information missing from Yahushua's answer, however, was when the 3.5 years would start. This time period is imminent. It is time for this prophecy to be understood in its entirety, but only those who have been following advancing light will understand it. Yahushua told Daniel of the final generation, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. The soul is purified as it embraces advancing light. Thus, it is the responsibility of every child of Yah to actively seek out truth and accept every ray of light from heaven. The prophecy warned, none of the wicked shall understand. This is not referring to worldlings. Worldly people do not care about the prophecies of Daniel. This refers to professed followers of Yahushua who reject advancing light. It is these who will not understand the truths contained in Daniel 12. Yahushua went on to explain, from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Here is the answer to Daniel's question. The word sacrifice in the above text is a supplied word. The word daily comes from tamid, and means continually, regularly. Both ideas, regularity, and continuousness are present in the Word. Many Christians have assumed the daily or continual refers to the daily sacrifices offered under the Old Covenant. However, advancing light reveals a deeper meaning. The continuous without interruption refers to time itself and the method by which it is calculated, the moon. The unchangeable nature of the moon was used as an example when Yahuwah declared, "Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven." The Sabbath, established at creation, is to be calculated by the calendar established at creation, the lunisolar calendar. Obedience to the divine commands purifies and sanctifies the soul. Disobedience desolates it. When the continual is taken away, the abomination that desolates the soul is established. This happened in the 4th century, when Constantine I enforced the use of the pagan calendar and rejected the biblical method of timekeeping. The Dark Ages that followed were the direct result of this abomination that truly desolated the soul. This action will be witnessed again in the near future when a universal Sunday law will be enforced upon pain of death because the final conflict will be over worship. "And I beheld another beast, and he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." The world is on the verge of catastrophe. The very next thing to happen is the sounding of the trumpets as described in Revelation 8 and 9. Under the fifth trumpet, the abomination of desolation will be established. When demons in the form of extraterrestrials overrun the earth, the Pope will be exalted as the earth's representative. It will only be logical for him to be chosen to head up the new one-world religion. In this new position of ultimate power, he will, at that time, impose a universal Sunday law. When the might of the state is combined with a decree of the Church to establish a universal law imposing a false worship day on the pain of death, then the continuous without interruption will have effectively been taken away and the abomination that desolates will be established. This law does not even have to enforce Sunday only. True believers who seek accommodation for their worship by the lunisolar calendar will be viewed as troublers of the people. Allowance could easily be made for Jews and Saturday Sabbatarians who worship on the seventh day of the papal Gregorian calendar, but no such accommodation will be made for those who want to worship the Creator on his lunisolar calendar. This is the event that starts the final countdown. Yahushua told Daniel that there would be 1,290 days following this event. Yahuwah's faithful will not remain silent in this time of emergency. They will warn the world of the dire consequences of conforming to the dictates of the Pope and the presumption of worshipping Yahuwah on a false day of worship. The Sabbath will be the great test of loyalty, for it is the point of truth especially controverted. When the final test shall be brought to bear upon men, then the line of distinction will be drawn between those who serve Yahuwah and those who serve him not. While the observance of the false Sabbath in compliance with the law of the state, contrary to the fourth commandment, will be an avowal of allegiance to a power that is in opposition to Yah, the keeping of the true Sabbath, in obedience to Yahuwah's law, is an evidence of loyalty to the Creator. While one class, by accepting the sign of submission to earthly powers, receive the mark of the beast, the other, choosing the token of allegiance to divine authority, receive the seal of Yahuwah. Persecution will be intense, but it will be necessary to draw the attention of the world to the issue at hand. This transpires during the 1260 days foretold in Daniel 12:7. Yahushua told Daniel, "When he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." And it will be. 3.5 years after a universal Sunday law has been decreed, probation will close. Daniel 12:7 gives a timeline of 1260 days. Verse 11 gives a timeline of 1290 days. That's a difference of 1 month. The seven last plagues will fall during the 30 days following the close of probation. For the wicked, the seven last plagues will be the worst judgments to ever fall on mankind in the history of the earth. During this time, Yahuwah's faithful will be sheltered by divine protection. They have trusted in their Savior, and He will preserve them. Daniel closes with a most precious promise. "Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,305 days. When the seventh plague falls, it is over. Yahuwah and his people have triumphed." The difference between the 1,290 days and the 1,335 days is 45 days. It is during this time that those who have honored Yahuwah by staying faithful to him in the face of imminent death will be honored as foretold by John. "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth." During the 45-day time period, the wicked that have so vigorously persecuted Yahuwah's children will come and worship at the feet of the faithful. The righteous have stood faithfully before the whole world, upholding the honor of Yahuwah and the divine law. They have not surrendered their wills to evil men inspired by demons. In the face of death, they have faithfully given earth's final warning, and many who would otherwise have been lost have been saved through their self-sacrificing efforts. It is Yahuwah's pleasure that they receive a foretaste of the honor that will be theirs in heaven. Those who insist that the timelines of Daniel 12 were fulfilled over 1,260 years during the Dark Ages are clinging to erroneous interpretations. By refusing to advance with the light, they are as deceitful as guard dogs that refuse to sound an alarm when danger is near. Placing the prophecy in the distant past soothes the awakened conscience back to sleep with the assurance that the second coming may be near but certainly is not imminent. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. "Come ye," say they, "I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant." The day of Yahuwah is here now. We are now living in the time of trouble. Very few events yet remain between now and when Yahushua will appear in the clouds of heaven. Now is the time to seek Yahuwah, learn of him, and embrace the precious rays of divine truth shining with ever-increasing brilliance from the eternal throne. Time is almost over.
All right, well, I'm done with my business. Let's see here. Sister Dale? Uh-oh. Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. So still, all right, your line was open the whole time. Okay,
yes,
my bad.
It was open, yes. Yes, it was.
Okay, okay. Yeah, so anyway, that was his perspective, and a lot of it that I'm in agreement with. It's just some of that stuff he said that I don't know. I'm still seeking and trying to learn, you know. But the Sabbath, as far as going by the moon, I don't know. I was always, I don't know. I haven't figured that one out yet, you know. That's where I'm at right now with my learning, you know, thus far. But that's another subject for another time. We want to get back into Jasher. And, all right, I think I read all of 10, okay?
Yeah,
I read all of 10. All right, Brother Ronald has left us. He haven't came back yet. All right, well, all right. All right, chapter 11. And Nimrod, son of Cush, what's that, Sister?
I say that's fine. Let's continue, because I was
right.
Just glad to get back into Jasher. Yes.
All right, chapter 11. All right, here we go. And Nimrod, son of Cush, was still in the land of Shinar. And he reigned over it and dwelt there. And he built cities in the land of Shinar. And these are the names of the four cities which he built. And he called their names after the occurrences that happened to them in the building of the tower. And he called the first Babel, saying, because the Lord there confounded the language of the whole earth. And the name of the second he called Erech, because from there God dispersed them. And the third he called Eked, saying there was a great battle at that place. And the fourth he called Calna, because his princes and mighty men were consumed there. And they vexed the Lord. They rebelled and transgressed against him. And when Nimrod had built these cities in the land of Shinar, he placed in them the remainder of his people, his princes and his mighty men that were left in his kingdom. And Nimrod dwelt in Babel, and he there renewed his reign over the rest of his subjects. And he reigned securely. And the subjects and princes of Nimrod called his name Amraphel, saying that the tower, his princes and men fell through his means. Hold up. Let me read 6 again, Sister.
Okay.
And Nimrod dwelt in Babel, and he there renewed his reign over the rest of his subjects. And he reigned securely. And the subjects and princes of Nimrod called his name Amraphel, saying that as the tower, his princes and men failed through his means. So they called Nimrod Amraphel.
Yeah.
Amraphel.
It's almost like,
why does that name sound?
Because it's like Raphael. Amraphel. Like Raphael. I'm sorry, I got to call Raphael. And it's Raphael, so I'm thinking it's Amraphel, and Nimrod called his name. That's what he called his name at that time. I guess, you know, when they did the name changes, that's the reason why you come up with different names. I guess Nimrod came after the Babel. The tower was taken down.
That's where that's where it a light bulb just went off in my head. When we was reading earlier in Jasher, we had Brother Leonard kind of reading with us, and he pointed out Amraphel, the person who built.
Yeah.
Yeah, he built Sodom and Gomorrah and all of those places.
Mm-hmm. And that was Nimrod. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Because we had read, he pointed us to a scripture where Amphareil built them.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing that Nimrod was called Amphareil.
Mm-hmm. Amphareil. Phil. P-H-E. Amphareil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Strange. I mean, this is those little things that is why, you know, it's difficult to understand because they did have some changes done and they called themselves one thing and then another. So, you know, it's really hard to get a grip on. So you got to be very much into the study.
Right.
I always study.
So,
yes.
Genesis, chapter 14 in Genesis. It came to pass in the days of Amphareil, king of Shinar, Erok, king of Elasar, Shadalomir, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shanab, king of Adama, and Shemeber, king of Zoabu, and the king of Bela, which is Zor. Okay. So all these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Shadalamor, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Shadalamor and the kings that were with him and smote the Raphaims and Astaroth, Carnam, and the Zuzims and Ham and the Imams and Shaveb, Kerathan, and the Horites in their Mount Seir, upon Elapon, which is by the wilderness. Seir, that we read some about Seir in the Jasher.
Mm-hmm.
And the Horites in Mount Seir unto Elapon, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to Enophon, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites. And they dwelt at Hazotamar. And there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Adma and the king of Zoab and the king of Bela, the same Zor that they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim. Well, with Shalamar, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amphareil, king of Shinar, Erah, king of Elazar, 4 kings with 5. And the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped, and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcolor, and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. So it was when Abram rounded up his people to go save Lot, it was Nimrod he was fighting against.
I guess so, yeah. That is something.
Wow. Okay, let's go back to Jasher.
Okay.
Let's go back to Jasher, because we're just kind of putting the pieces of a puzzle together.
Hmm.
And it's something else, I tell you. It is something else.
Well, Jasher, you know, you learn a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of little things in the mix that, you know, you didn't know that was left out of one, and the other one comes and fill in a little bit more to it, but still they are talking about the same period and the same similar, you know, what's happening, just different authors. But there you go, two different accounts. But, you know, it's like I said, it's a mystery, and that's why we have to study and do our own research and everything to get the gist of it all. And it also helps us to know.
Right.
You know, it's always good to know who in the past, who of the ancients, what they did, and how things kind of repeated itself.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of gives a perspective to where we are today. And we can see how the Most High was just really tired of the back and forth with the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was just so tired of that, the back and forth. And that's why the Messiah is here. He came into play. So, you know, I can see that. I can see that. He wanted to save mankind. And, you know, so that's why he came, and that's why that little clip he was talking about, you know, is the reason why we're here today, to give us an opportunity to make amends, you know, and that type thing, and to come back and to wake up, because we were definitely sleepwalking all these centuries and during all these times. But we had different groups. Yeah, we had different groups that were out there battling and fighting and struggling to keep, that had faith. And, you know, that was struggling. And the Most High just kept hearing those prayers, you know, and that's what kept us in still here. All praises to our ancient ancestors that was really, really giving it all and kept the faith.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm.
Some didn't, but some did. And that's what's the most important thing. Okay, brother.
Right.
You want to pick up again where?
Pick up again at 7. All right. Mm-hmm. And notwithstanding this, Nimrod did not return to the Lord. And he continued in wickedness and teaching wickedness to the sons of men. And Mardon, his son, was worse than his father. And he continued to add to the abominations of his father. And he caused the sons of men to sin. Therefore, it is said, from the wicked goes forth wickedness. Mm-hmm. At that time, there was war between the families of the children of Ham, as they were dwelling in the cities which they had built. And Shedd-Lamar, king of Elam, went away from the families of the children of Ham. And he fought with them, and he subdued them. And he went to the five cities of the plain, and he fought against them, and he subdued them. And they were under his control. And they served him 12 years, and they gave him a yearly tax. At that time died Nahor, son of Serug, in the 49th year of the life of Abram, son of Terah. And in the 50th year of the life of Abram, son of Terah, Abram came forth from the house of Noah and went to his father's house. Okay. And Abram knew the Lord, and he went in his ways and instructions, and the Lord his God was with him. And Terah, his father, was in those days still captain of the host of King Nimrod. And he still followed strange gods. And Abram came to his father's house and saw 12 gods standing there in their temples. And the anger of Abram was kindled when he saw the images in his father's house. And Abram said, as the Lord liveth, these images shall not remain in my father's house. So shall the Lord who created me do unto me, if in 3 days' time I do not break them all. And Abram went from them, and his anger burned within him. And Abram hastened and went from the chamber to his father's outer court. And he found his father sitting in the court and all his servants with him. And Abram came and sat before him. And Abram asked his father, saying, Father, tell me, where is God who created heaven and earth and all the sons of men upon the earth? And who created thee and me? And Terah answered his son Abram and said, Behold, those who created us are all with us in the house. And Abram said to his father, My Lord, show them to me, I pray thee. And Terah brought Abram into the chamber of the inner court. And Abram saw, and behold, the whole room was full of gods and wood and stone.
Full of gods of wood and stone.
12 great images, others less than they without number. And Terah said to his son, Behold, these are they which made all thou seest upon the earth, and which created me and thee, and all mankind. And Terah bowed down to his gods. And he then went away from them. And Abram, his son, went away with him. And when Abram had gone from them, he went to his mother and sat before her. And he said to his mother, Behold, my father has shown me those who made heaven and earth and all the sons of men. Now, therefore, hasten and fetch a kid from the flock and make of it savory meat, that I may bring it to my father's gods as an offering for them to eat. Perhaps I may thereby become acceptable to them. And his mother did so, and she fetched the kid and made a savory meat thereof and brought it to Abram. And Abram took the savory meat from his mother and brought it before his father's gods. And he drew nigh to them, and they might eat. And Terah's father did not know of it. And Abram saw on the day when he was sitting amongst them that they had no voice, no hearing, no motion. Not one of them could stretch forth his hand and eat. And Abram mocked them and said, Surely the savory meat that I prepared has not pleased them, or perhaps it was too little for them. And for that reason they would not eat. Therefore tomorrow I will prepare a fresh savory meat, better and more plentiful than this, in order that I may see the result. And it was on the next day that Abram directed his mother concerning the savory meat. And his mother rose and fetched 3 fine kids from the flock. And she made them some excellent savory meat, such as her son was fond of. And she gave it to her son Abram. And Terah, his father, did not know of it. And Abram took the savory meat from his mother and brought it before his father's gods into the chamber. And he came nigh unto them, and they might eat. And he placed it before them. And Abram sat before them all day, thinking perhaps they might eat. And Abram viewed them, and behold, they had neither voice nor hearing, nor did one of them stretch forth his hand to the meat to eat. And in the evening of that day in that house, Abram was clothed with the Spirit of God. And he called out and said, Woe unto my father and this wicked generation, whose hearts are all inclined to vanity, who serve these idols of wood and stone, which can neither eat, smell, hear, nor speak, who have mouths without speech, eyes without sight, ears without hearing, hands without feeling, legs which cannot move. Like them are those that made them and that trust in them. And when Abram saw these things, his anger was kindled against his father, and he hasted and took a hatchet in his hand and came unto the chamber of the gods, and he broke all his father's gods. And when he had done breaking the images, he placed the hatchet in the hand of the great God, which was there before them, and went out. And Terah's father came home, for he had heard at the door the sound of the striking of the hatchet. So Terah came into the house to know what this was about. And Terah, having heard the noise of the hatchet in the room of images, ran to the room to the images. And he met Abram going out. And Terah entered the room and found all the fallen down and broken, and the hatchet in the hand of the largest, which was not broken. And the savory meat, which Abram, his son, had made, was still before them. And Terah saw this. His anger was greatly kindled, and he hastened and went from the room to Abram, and found Abram, his son, still sitting in the house. And he said to him, "What is this work thou hast done to my gods?" And Abram answered Terah, his father, and he said, "Not so, my lord, for I brought favorite meat before them. And when I came nigh to them with the meat that they might eat, that all at once stretched forth their hands to eat before the great one had put forth his hand to eat. And the large one saw their works that they did before him. His anger was violently kindled against them, and he went and took the hatchet that was in the house and came to them and broke them all. And behold, the hatchet is yet in his hand, and thou as thou seest." And Terah's anger was kindled against his son Abram when he spoke this. And Terah said to Abram, his son, in his anger, "What is this tale that thou hast told? Thou speakest lies to me. If there in these God's spirit, soul, or power to do all thou hast told me, are they not wood and stone? Have I not myself made them? And canst thou speak such lies, saying that the large God that was with them smote them? It is thou that didst place the hatchet in his hands, and then sayest he smote them all." And Abram answered his father and said to him, "And how canst thou then serve these idols, in whom there is no power to do anything? Can those idols in which thou trustest deliver thee? Can they hear thy prayers when thou callest upon them? Can they deliver thee from the hands of the enemy? Or will they fight thy battles for thee against thy enemy, that thou shouldest serve wood and stone, which can neither speak nor hear? And now surely it is not good for thee, nor for the sons of men that are connected with thee, to do these things. Are you so silly, so foolish, or so short of understanding that you will serve wood and stone and do after this manner, and forget the Lord God who have made heaven and earth, and who created you in the earth, and thereby bring a great evil upon your souls in this matter by serving wood and stone, stone and wood? Did not our fathers in the days of old sin in this matter, and the Lord God of the universe brought the waters of the flood upon them, and destroyed the whole earth? And how can you continue to do this and serve gods of wood and stone? You cannot hear, speak. Who cannot hear or speak or deliver you from oppression, thereby bringing down the anger of the God of the universe upon you? Now, therefore, my father, refrain from this and bring not evil upon the soul and the souls of thy household." And Abram hastened and sprang from before his father and took the hatchet from his father's largest idol with which Abram broke it and ran away. And Terah, seeing all that Abram had done, hastened to go from his house. And he went to the king, and he came before Nimrod and stood before him and bowed down to the king. And the king said, "What dost thou want?" And he said, "I beseech thee, my lord, to hear me. Now 50 years back, a child was born to me, and thus has he done to my gods, and thus has he spoken. And now, therefore, my lord and king, send for him that he may come before thee and judge him according to the law, that we may be delivered from his evil." And the king sent three men of his servants, and they went and brought Abram before the king. And Nimrod and all of his princes and servants were that day sitting before him. and terror set also before thee. And the king said to Abram, what is this that thou hast done to thy father and to his gods? And Abram answered the king in the words that he spoke to his father and said, the Lord God that was with them in the house did to them what thou hast heard. And the king said to Abram, have they power to speak and eat and do as thou hast said? And Abram answered the king and saying, and if there be no power in them, why dost thou serve them and cause the sons of men to err through thy folly? Doest thou imagine that they can deliver thee or do anything small or great that thou shouldest serve them? And why wilt thou not sense the God of the whole universe who created thee and in whose power it is to kill and keep alive? O foolish, simple, ignorant king, woe unto thee forever. I thought thou wouldest teach thy servants the upright way, but thou hast not done this, but hast filled the whole earth with thy sins and the sins of thy people who have followed thy ways. Okay, well, Abram's pretty bold. He's pretty bold, ain't he? Doest thou not know, or hast thou not heard, that this evil which thou doest, our ancestors sinned therein in days of old, and the eternal God brought the waters of the flood upon them and destroyed them all, and also destroyed the whole earth on their account. And wilt thou and thy people rise up now and do like unto this work in order to bring down the anger of the Lord God of the universe and to bring evil upon thee and the whole earth? Now, therefore, put away this evil deed which thou doest and serve the God of the universe as thy soul is in his hands, and then it will be well with thee. And if thy wicked heart will not hearken to my words to cause thee to forsake thy evil ways and to serve the eternal God, then wilt thou die in shame in the latter days, thou, thy people, and all who are connected with thee, hearing thy words, are walking in thy evil ways. And when Abram had ceased speaking before the king and princes, Abram lifted up his eyes to the heavens, and he said, Lord, seeth all the wicked, and he will judge them. That's the end of chapter 11.
Yeah. Amen for that. I mean, amen. Oh, man, I tell you, these generations and generations, and you can see the Most High bringing people up. Bringing people up. He's keeping that seed going. He's keeping the faith, his spirit, coming through like he did. You know, it's amazing. You see how it went from... He skipped over Terah, is that his name? Abram's father.
Yeah.
And uh-huh. Abram learned from his grandfather and others, you know. So, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Right. But this is at Terah's house that this happened.
And I know he went to
that goes
Terah's
to
house.
Show how scared of Nimrod they were. That once this incident happened, Terah wasn't thinking about, like, how can he cover it up, you know, and make it look like an accident to protect his son. He went to the king and told it on his son.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Total fear.
Yeah.
Like, what if Nimrod find out? Well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's going to kill us all. Yeah.
You know what I
mean? I tell you, it's just crazy. Yeah?
All right, let's just try to knock out 12.
It goes on today, brother. Yeah.
Let's try to knock out 12. And when the king heard the words of Abram, he ordered him to be put into the prison. And Abram was 10 days in prison. And at the end of those days, the king ordered that all the kings, princes, and governors of different provinces and the sages should come before him. And they sat before him, and Abram was still in the house of confinement. And the king said to the princes and sages, Have you heard what Abram, the son of Tyr, has done to his father? Thus has he done to him. And I ordered him to be brought before me. And thus has he spoken. His heart did not misgive him, neither did he stir in my presence. And behold, now he is confined in the prison. Okay. And therefore decided what judgment is due to this man who reviled the king, who spoke and did all the things that you heard. And they all answered the king, saying, the man who reviled the king should be hanged upon a tree. But having done all the things that he said, and having despised our gods, he must therefore be burned to death. For this is the law in this matter. Pleases the king to do this, let him order his servants to kindle a fire, both night and day, in thy brick furnace, and then we will cast this man into it. And the king did so, and he commanded his servants that they should prepare a fire for 3 days and three nights in the king's furnace. Let's keep that in the back of our minds, the 3 days and three nights. That's kind of common in our canon.
Yeah.
All right. And the king's furnace. That is in Casdim. The king ordered them to take Abram from prison and bring him out to be burned. And all the king's servants, princes, lords, governors, and judges, and all the inhabitants of the land, about 900,000 men, stood opposite the furnace to see Abram. And all the women and little ones crowded upon the roofs and towers to see what was doing with Abram. And they all stood together at a distance. And there was not a man left that did not come on that day to behold the scene. So this was a big deal.
Yeah.
And when Abram was come, the conjurers of the king and sages saw Abram. And they cried out to the king, saying, Old servant Lord, surely this is the man whom we know to have been the child at whose birth the great star swallowed the four stars, which we declared to the king now 50 years since. And behold, now his father has also transgressed thy commandments and mocked thee by bringing thee another child, which thou didst kill. And when the king heard the words, he was exceedingly wroth, and he ordered terror to be brought before him. And the king said, Hast thou heard what the conjurers have spoken? Now tell me truly, how didst thou? If thou shalt speak truth, thou shalt be acquitted. And seeing that the king's anger was so much kindled, terror said to the king, My lord and king, thou hast heard the truth, and what the sages have spoken is right. And the king said, How couldst thou do this thing, to transgress my orders, and to give me a child that thou didst not beget, and to take value for you? And Terah answered the king, Because my tender feelings were excited for my son at that time, and I took a son of my handmaid, and I brought him to the king. And the king said, Who advised thee to this? Tell me, that do not hide aught from me, and then thou shalt not die. And Terah was greatly terrified in the king's presence. And he said to the king, It was Haran, my eldest son, who advised me to this. And Haran was in those days that Abram was born, 32 years old. He was 32 years old when Abram was born. Okay. But Haran did not advise his father to anything for Terah. But Haran did not advise his father to anything. For Terah said this to the king, in order to deliver his soul from the king, for he feared greatly. And the king said to Terah, Haran, thy son, who advised thee to this shall die through fire with Abram. For the sentence of death is upon him for having rebelled against the king's desire in doing this thing. And Haran at that time felt inclined to follow the ways of Abram, but he kept it within himself. Hold on, let me read 18 again. And Haran at that time felt inclined to follow the ways of Abram, but he kept it within himself. So in his heart, he knew that Abram was saying right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. All right, 19. And Haran said in his heart, behold, now the king has seized Abram on account of these things which Abram did. And it shall come to pass that if Abraham prevail over the king, I will follow him. But if the king prevail, I will go after the king. And when Terah has spoken this to the king concerning Haran, his son, the king ordered Haran to be seized with Abram. And they brought them both, Abram and Haran, his brother, to cast them into the fire, and all the inhabitants of the land, and the king's servants, and the princes, and all the women and little ones were there, standing that day over them. And the king's servant took Abram and his brother, and they stripped them of all their clothes, excepting their lower garments, which were upon them. And they bound their hands and feet with linen and cords. And the servants of the king lifted them up and cast them both into the furnace. And the Lord loved Abram, and he had compassion over him. And the Lord came down and delivered Abram from the fire, and he was not burned. But all the cords with which they bound him were burned, while Abram remained and walked about in the fire. And Haran died when they had cast him into the fire, and he was burned to ashes, for his heart was not perfect with the Lord. And those men who cast him into the fire, the flame of the fire spread over them, and they were burned. And 12 men of them died. And Abram walked in the midst of the fire 3 days and 3 nights. And all the servants of the king saw him walking in the fire. And they came and told the king, saying, behold, we have seen Abram walking about in the midst of the fire. And even the lower garments which are upon him are not burned, but the cord which he was bound is burned. And when the king heard the words, his heart fainted, and he would not believe him. So he sent other faithful princes to see this matter. And they went and saw it, and they told it to the king. And the king rose to go and see it. And he saw Abram walking to and fro in the midst of the fire. And he saw Haran's body burn. And the king wondered greatly. And the king ordered Abram to be taken out from the fire. And his servants approached to take him out, and they could not, for the fire was round about, and the flame ascending toward them from the furnace. And the king's servants fled from him. And the king rebuked him, saying, make haste and bring Abram out of the fire, that you shall not die. And the servants of the king again approached to bring Abram out, and the flames came upon them and burned their faces, so that 8 of them died. And when the king saw that his servants could not approach the fire, lest they should be burned, the king called to Abram, O servant of the God who is in heaven, go forth from amidst the fire and come hither before me. And Abram hearkened to the voice of the king, and he went forth from the fire and came and stood before the king. And when Abram came out, the king and all his servants saw Abram coming before the king with his lower garments upon him, for they were not burned, but the cord with which he was bound was burned. And the king said to Abram, how is it that thou wast not burned in the fire? And Abram said to the king, God of heaven and earth, in whom I trust, and who has all in his power. He delivered me from the fire into which thou didst cast me. And Haran, the brother of Abram, was burned to ashes. And they sought for his body, and they found it consumed. And Haran was 82 years old when he died in the fire of Kisadim. Oh, he was 82. Okay. Haran was 82 years old when he died in the fire of Kisadim.
Yeah, he was he was 50 years, you know. He was 32
right.
when Abram was born. Yeah.
Right, right. Uh-huh, yeah. And the king, princes, and inhabitants of the land, seeing that Abram was delivered from the fire, they came and bowed down to Abram. And Abram said to them, "Do not bow down to me, but bow down to the God of the world who made you, and serve him, and go in his ways, for it is he who delivered me from out of this fire. And it is he who created the souls and spirits of all men, and formed man in his mother's womb, and brought him forth into the world. And it is he who will deliver those who trust in him from all pain." And this thing seemed very wonderful in the eyes of the king and princes, that Abram was saved from the fire, and that Haran was burned. And the king gave Abram many presents, and he gave him his two head servants from the king's house. The name of one was Ani, and the name of the other was Eliezer. And all the king's princes and servants gave Abram many gifts of silver and gold and pearls, and the king of his princes sent him away, and he went in peace. And Abram went forth from the king in peace, and many of the king's servants followed him. And about 300 men joined him. And Abram returned on that day and went to his father's house, he and the men that followed him. And Abram served the Lord his God all the days of his life, and he walked in the ways and followed his law. And from that day forward, Abram inclined the hearts of the sons of men to serve the Lord. And at that time, Nahor and Abram took unto themselves wives, the daughters of their brother Haran. The wife of Nahor was Milcah, and the name of Abram's wife was Sarah. Okay.
They call it Sarah. Sarah.
Sarah.
Sarah.
Yes. So that was his niece.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me read that over again.
They were daughters of his brother, Haran, or Haran.
And at that time, Nahor, that's Abram's brother, another brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at that time, Nahor and Abram took unto themselves wives, the daughters of their brother Haran.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The wife of Nahor was Milcah, and the name of Abram's wife was Sarah. And Sarah, wife of Abram, was barren. She had no offspring in those days.
Yeah.
And at the expiration of 2 years from Abram's going out of the fire, that is in the 52nd year of his life, behold, King Nimrod sat at Babel upon the throne, and the king fell asleep and dreamed that he was standing with his troops and host in a valley opposite the king's furnace. And he lifted up his eyes and saw a man in the likeness of Abram coming forth from the furnace, and that he came and stood before the king with his drawn sword, and then sprang to the king with his sword. When the king fled from the man, for he was afraid, and while he was running, the man threw an egg upon the king's head, and the egg became a great river. And the king dreamed that all his troops sank in that river and died. And the king took flight with three men who were before him, and he escaped. And the king looked at these men, and they were clothed in princely dresses as the garments of kings, and had the appearance and majesty of kings. And while they were running, the river again turned to an egg before the king. And there became forth from the egg a young bird, which came before the king and flew at his head and plucked out the king's eyes. And the king was grieved at the sight, and he awoke out of his sleep, and his spirit was agitated, and he felt a great terror. Let me stop right there, Sister Dale.
Okay.
Before we start reading this, I gave you, opened up with the history of paganism and Nimrod, how he's the father of it, and how when he died, he became the sun, his wife became the moon, and she started to be the goddess of fertility. All right? Fertility goddess. She had bird-like feet, is the type of statue that they made of her. And that's who started the Easter paganism, dealing with Easter. All right? Now, as we know that Christianity embraced this this pagan worship ceremony and made it into a fun game for kids, all right, because that's something that they used to do and they don't do it no more. Is you know, they don't believe it no more, but they made it into like something for kids to enjoy. And on the day of Tammuz, his birth, December 25th, which is 9 months after Easter, they make Christmas, you know, with the tree and the paganism dealing with that. And that also is for children, you know, sharing presents and stuff like that. But I said that to say, this dream that Nimrod had, and it's got something to do with eggs and a bird, and he's running, and I'm seeing something here, but I'm trying to put it together. But that eye, you know, that eye, that one of his eyes was plucked out by the bird.
Yeah.
Now, on the pyramids, you see this one eye, that all-seeing eye. I wonder if that got something significance here. Okay, I'm just rambling in my head, but I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah.
So, all right, 47. Let's keep going. And the king dreamed that all his troops sank in the river and died. The king took flight. Three men who before him. Okay, I already read that.
Yeah, you have. We're read at the
50.
When he woke up.
I'm in verse 50.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in 50. And the king was grieved at the sight, and he awoke out of his sleep, and his spirit was agitated, and he terror. And in the morning, the king rose from his couch in fear, and he ordered all the wise men and magicians to come before him when the king related his dream to them. And the wise servant of the king, whose name was Anunnaki, okay, answered the king. That Anunnaki sounds familiar. that Anunnaki. I'll get back to that later. Anunnaki, okay. Answered the king, saying, "This is nothing else but the evil of Abram and his seed. which will spring up against the Lord and King in the latter days. And behold, the day will come when Abram and his seed and the children of his household will war with my king, and they will smite all the king's hosts and his troops. And as to what thou hast said concerning three men, which thou didst see like unto thyself, and which did escape, this means that only thou will escape, with three kings from the kings of the earth, who will be with thee in battle. And that which thou sawest of the river, which turned to an egg as at first, and the young bird plucking out thine eye, this means nothing else but the seed of Abram, which will slay the king in the latter day. This is my king's dream, and this is its interpretation. And the dream is true, and the interpretation which thy servant has given thee is right. I don't know. I don't know.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
King believes.
That's what he's saying. Yeah. And now, therefore, my king, surely thou knowest that it is now 52 years since thy sages saw this at the birth of Abram. And if my king will suffer Abram to live in the earth, it will be to the injury of my lord and king. For all the days that Abram liveth, neither thou nor thy kingdom will be established. For this was known formerly at his birth. And why will it not, my king, slay him? That is, that his evil may be kept from thee in latter days. And the Nimrod hearkened to the voice of a donkey. And he sent some of his servants in secret to go and seize Abram and bring him before the king to suffer death. And Eleazar, Abram's servant, whom the king had given him, was at that time in the presence of the king. And he heard what Anunki had advised the king and what the king had said to cause Abram's death. And Eleazar said to Abram, "Hasten, rise up and save thy soul, that thou mayest not die through the hands of the king. For thus did he see in a dream concerning thee, and thus did Anunki interpret it. And thus also did Anunki advise the king concerning thee." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Eleazar. And Abram hastened and ran for safety to the house of Noah and the house of Shem. And he concealed himself there, and his son Shem. And he concealed himself there and found a place of safety. And the king's servants came to Abram's house to seek him, but they could not find him. And they searched throughout the country, and he was not to be found. And they went and searched in every direction, and he was not to be met with. And the king's servants could not find Abram. They returned to the king. But the king's anger against Abram was stilled, as they did not find him. And the king drove from his mind this matter concerning Abram. And Abram was concealed in Noah's house for 1 month until the king had forgotten this matter. But Abram was still afraid of the king. And terror came to see Abram, his son, secretly in the house of Noah. And terror was very great in the eyes of the king. And Abram said to his father, "Dost thou not know that the king thinketh to slay me and to annihilate my name from the earth by the advice of his wicked counselors? Now whom hast thou here, and what hast thou in this land? Arise, let us go together to the land of Canaan, that we may be delivered from his hand, lest thou perish also through him in the latter days. Dost thou not know?" Let me pause right there at 66. They're in Iraq, in the land of Babel. That's Iraq. The land of Canaan is what we call Israel to this day, right? So if he went to Noah's house, I mean Noah's place, okay, where is Noah living? You know what I'm saying? Where is they living at?
Aren't they still in the same place where the ark settled?
Where he obviously he didn't feel like he was going to be safe at Noah's house in the latter days, you know. Eventually Nimrod was going to, you know.
No, but
you
Noah
know, this is not the
Nimrod
safest
didn't
spot.
Go to Noah.
Huh?
Apparently
no,
they
no.
didn't go to Noah.
Right, I agree. I'm thinking it must be some kind of mountains or something. You know what I'm saying? In the caves or so. But I don't think it's too far from, my point is, I don't think it's too far from Babylon is my point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think it's too far away. Yeah. Because if the land is Canaan, they like, let's go there. Out of Nimrod's reach, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm just saying, you know, Egypt and Israel, not all that far from Iraq, you know. You know,
you know, and
so
that's where the earthquake is happening. They felt a tremor also. Did you know that? With Turkey and Syria?
Oh,
the
really?
The earthquake also was felt in Israel, Egypt, and a few of those other areas surrounding them. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they were all, and hopefully, I don't know, but they didn't sustain the type of, but who knows, you know, what's going to happen next. I think it might have been a warning for those other places, really. They need to start getting right, because they can see now the hand of the Most High. They can see this. But I tell you what, I read possible over 21,000 deaths.
Over 21,000?
21,000, yes.
Oh, my. Last time I was looking in on it, it was rising above 15.
Yeah, well, it rises above 17, and then I read just a recent article that, but this is not just Turkey, it's Syria and Turkey, and they're surrounding little townships and stuff. They said it was a heavily populated area.
Oh, yeah, all in that area.
Yeah, it connected. On one side was Turkey, and of course, and there was a part of Syria as well, so there you go. So you got two countries there. And even some parts of Africa, they said something about Africa. They felt the tremors from the earthquake. Yeah, so that area is very, so, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in that particular area of the country involving all those countries.
Yes.
I mean, I think the Most High is just trying to wake everybody up and let them be aware, you know. I mean, he's getting close to those areas that our ancestors, you know, he's kind of letting everyone know that he's near. He's near.
Yes,
and he's coming with some fears. He's coming fierce. So, you know, it's just bewildering. And, yes, sir. 7.8 on the scale. 7.8.
Richter
and I think
scale.
There was another one. Yeah, Richter. And there was another one, a magnitude of 7 point something as well. So I tell you, it's just crazy.
Wow. Yes. I wonder what was the name of that area in ancient times, I wonder.
That research that needs to be done. I think there's other people looking at that and they're putting together something on that because I think they said the over 900 years ago, a similar earthquake, but not to this magnitude, I think. 900 years ago, they had in the same area. And it's just the area that we're talking about, and now we're reading about all this back in those days, and we can see so much stuff that's surrounding these countries and areas that we need to take heed and we need to look at, you know, and that's why history is good to go back and read this stuff and help us in our understanding. So that's where I'm at.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
brother.
Ma'am.
Okay, we're going to wrap this up too, I believe. So I don't know.
Yeah,
got over the 67.
Right. Let me read to finish this chapter up. Verse 66. Dost thou not know, or hast thou not heard, that it is not through the love that Nimrod giveth thee all his honor, but it is only for his benefit that he bestowed all his good upon thee? And if he do unto thee greater good than this, surely these are only vanities of the world, for wealth and riches cannot avail in the day of wrath and anger. Now, therefore, hearken to my voice, and let us arise and go to the land of Canaan, out of the reach of injury from Nimrod, and serve thou the Lord who created thee in the earth, and it will be well with thee, and cast away all the vain things which thou purest. And Abraham ceased to speak when Noah and his son Shem answered Terah, saying, true is the word which Abram hath said unto thee. And Terah hearkened to the voice of his son Abram. And Terah did all that Abram said, for this was the Lord, and the king should not cause Abram's death.
I was wondering if you can watch a movie on the road, please.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, so I'm wrapping that on up.
Finish this right here.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that interruption. Go ahead, brother. You about to say something else?
Yeah, so I just wrapped up 12, but Abraham was talking to his father, saying, hey, it doesn't matter what all the Nimrod, the gold and silver he gave you. It's, you know. After a while, man, he'll cease to want to hurt you after a while. You know what I'm saying? Over this right here, this dream. Come with us. Come with us out of Nimrod's reach and live with us in Canaan.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh.
So
yeah.
How chapter 12 ends right there.
Yeah, because I'm sure Noah and his son, Shem, was, you know, talking to Terah. And, you know, they were just saying the same things. And what's wrong with you? Can't you listen? Don't you know? You know, your eyes are seen. And what is it that, you know, is causing your doubt? And they just made him believe. And he just had to go along with them. And, man, I was fearful to think that he was going to turn his son over again. You know,
yes.
It's amazing. I know I'm getting ready to go. I have a situation here at home that I'm dealing with right now, but you know what? I'll pray to see
all
God.
Right.
I'm not even going to worry about it because I know that he is the author and finisher of all things. And as long as I have him, I can't go astray.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And I just wish you a safe journey and a safe trip. And thank you for having this part two.
All right. No problem. All right. I love you there, Sister Dale. You take care.
Okay.
Shalom. All right, y'all. Well, we wrapped up 10, 11, 12 in the book of Jasher. And we're going to just hang it on up, y'all. Hanging on up and play a little outro. Let's play Feast of Tabernacles. I love that song. Let's end it with that.
Yeah.
2020. The year you showed yourself to me. You made yourself known in the physical realm. 2020, we so close to the end. Not family, but destruction coming closer than kin. Fear ends where your faith should begin. Just believe, put your faith within him. Right now, you and him should be friends. And if you not, what you doing, my friend? Take a second right now to repent. I wait. Okay, he gave me the flow, not for show, so I gotta speak. What I look like hiding, what he manifests inside of me. Out the mud he took me, shaped me with his hand, pottery. Then hiding the fact that I'm chosen, Ruach inside of me. This is not the time not to know we live in prophecy. Now is not the time to hide your sin, this isn't prophecy. Book of Revelations, manifesting, got a lot to see. Take a new approach, try angles, isosceles, not the shape. I'm saying try different angles, devil trying to taint you. Meanwhile, he not stronger than your angels. But he call himself going against the eye, but this is painful. His perception ain't you. Don't receive the picture that he paint you. Realize and believe in the Most High because he made you. This is not a fable. Overcome that lust because you're able. Make the stallion what? Tell them horses get back in the stable. What you think this is? We on top this season just like Basil. Hold on. 2020, we so close to the end. Not family, but destruction coming closer than kin. Fear ends where your faith should begin. Just believe, put your faith within him. Right now, you and him should be friends. And if you not, what you doing, my friend? Take a second right now to repent. I wait. We in a time where public perception means more than a friendship with the Most High. What are you scared of? Are you really scared of the creation of the Most High? Whatever's trying to scare you, he already created. So what are you scared of? Repent. Turn away from your sin. Now is the time to do so. I'm on.